Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Sarah Golseth, sitting in for Andy Bates this morning. Is saving for retirement really all that important? We're going to talk about that right now. Joining me in studio is Mark Borchert, Director of Retirement Products and Services for Concordia Plan Services, here to walk us through saving for retirement. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming upstairs.
Well, this is, as my title might suggest, something that is near and dear to me, so I am happy to be here.
Kind of very important for you to talk about it with people,
including me
during the break.
That's right.
Great. Well, tell us a little bit about your role with Concordia Plans.
So my primary role is to, look at the design of our retirement plans at Concordia Plan Services and just see how they're working for the various entities around the country and to push for getting people ready for retirement. We are fortunate within this LCMS community to have a pension plan that provides a very good foundation for people in terms of getting ready for retirement financially. But there's still more work to do for people.
I heard the last time you were on that winning the lottery is not the best way to go. Is that still your advice?
The probabilities are pretty low.
All right.
So I don't know that you want to take that chance for retirement.
Fair enough. So we brought you in studio today because this week is National Retirement Security Week. Today is the last day of that lovely week. Can you explain what that week is all about for us?
Sure. So the U.S. Senate started this. They used to call it, and this is the first year it's called National Retirement Security Week. It used to be National Save for Retirement Week. They started in 2006 with a Senate resolution. The purpose of it is just to try to raise awareness and get people to save more for retirement. At least those are the purposes that they have stated. And then this year's Senate resolution just changed the name to National Retirement Security Week. That's where it got its start.
So is this because a lot of people don't save for retirement?
or don't save enough?
Sure.
The retirement landscape has changed significantly really in the last 20 to 30 years. There are a lot of corporations who have gone away from a traditional pension plan, and there are a number of reasons, but a lot of them have to do with just the volatility of having them because of some of the rules that have been put in place by their government. There are certain rules that we do not have to follow, and so we don't end up having that same sort of volatility at Concordia Plans with our old-style pension plan, if you want to call it that. There's a lot of misunderstanding out in the world because they don't see this traditional pension plan as much anymore. And so because they don't see it, they think it's just this silly old dinosaur. But that's not really true at all. It serves a solid purpose. But the purpose of the week is really about saving for retirement, which is really a different story. And many companies do have the opportunity available for people to save for retirement. And that's really the primary place that people should be looking to get ready. There are a number of reasons. You can set it up so that it comes out of your paycheck and you never really miss it.
I like that one.
Yes. And so I say you never really miss it. So it's one of those things where if on day one you set it up, you don't miss it. Mm-hmm. But, it's hard to get it going if you haven't started it then. Many companies, and this had to do with a law that came into effect in 2006, many companies do just set it up automatically for workers now. And they might set it up to automatically have 3% come out of a person's paycheck. A person can opt out of that happening, but most people don't. It usually people continue with it because they know they need to, at least some. However, if that's the only thing a person has, 3% is not going to do it. You're just not going to be ready for retirement with that. Anyway, so yes, it's true that not a lot of people save enough for retirement. I'll put it that way. There's a lot that don't save at all, but for those that do, most of them aren't even close to saving enough.
Right. And or it's something that you kind of just, you put the 3% away and you don't think about it until it's a little bit too late. And then what do you do?
Well, you know, it's never too late to get started.
That's
to
good.
Do something.
Never too late.
You know, you want to set your goals for retirement. And it's hard for people when retirement is a number of years off to set goals for it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what, you know, 30 years from now, what are things going to be like? I don't know what's going to be like then. How can I possibly set a goal? You know, Ostelio Gomez, who's been on the program mm-hmm. before, I mean, his favorite thing is really when you're at a younger age, what you're looking at is you want to be able to have options available to you when you get to retirement. You're not going to have those options if you don't have much set aside.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really what it comes down to. But it also doesn't hurt for, and I'll stay with younger people, but for younger people to think about and visualize certain things about retirement. And recognizing that, you know, especially in our context, you may want to have opportunity for various kinds of charity things
mm-hmm.
when you reach that point in time. You may want to have opportunity to work with your grandchildren. You told me that your grandparents had saved enough for you to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
they did.
That didn't happen overnight for them, right?
It did not. They invested when I was born.
There you go.
Yep.
So, and that makes a good point about the fact that when money has a lot of time to work, it turns into a lot of money.
That's a good thing to remember.
If for example, somebody is able to save, now we'll get into what if I haven't saved in a minute, but if somebody has saved, and this would be hard for a lot of people to do, so I don't mean to make this an impossible scenario, but if somebody saved $30,000 by the time they're age 30
mm-hmm.
and then did nothing more until retirement, you know, that money, let's say, we'll say age 70, we're going to start pushing that retirement age out
mm-hmm.
for people. That $30,000 will be close to $500,000 by the time somebody's 70.
That's a lot of money.
And $500,000 is a good deal of money. So if between age 30 and age 70, you do continue to save, you'll have even more, right? But if you've just put away $30,000, by the time you're age 30, it can turn into quite a bit by the time you reach retirement age. So getting started early is huge. It's a really big deal. And, you know, younger people getting started out many times do have student loan debt that they are needing to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
They're really beginning to think about a paycheck that's bigger than what they've maybe seen before.
Right.
You know, whether it's a huge one or not, it's still bigger than what you got by working, you know, your part-time job at McDonald's or wherever.
Sure.
And so it's easy to run out and buy a brand new car
mm-hmm.
on a loan, you know, and then any other kinds of things you're just excited about spending. And so it's important to try to stop yourself at that point and put together a plan in order to avoid that kind of impulse
mm-hmm.
And get yourself in a position where you're beginning to set money aside for retirement right away. You know, there was a time where in a lot of companies, you didn't have to worry about that as much because the employer was doing it for you.
Right.
We don't live in that world anymore for the most part. Those that are using, you know, the Concordia Retirement Plan, yeah, the employer is there providing that kind of a benefit for our church workers in many settings, which is a good fit, again, for a lot of scenarios, not for every scenario, but
right.
a good fit for a lot of scenarios. But in most of the people listening probably don't have that kind of a plan, and they need to be saving. So we've talked about the younger folks and you know, getting started early is really a key. I mean, I think somebody needs to kind of make that a top priority financially. Now, again, in our setting, that's not your top priority, right? your top priority is to first think about what you've been blessed with and set aside an amount for your gifts and offerings.
Right.
And so stewardship does come into this question because we're talking about resources that we've been provided with. So it starts there.
Definitely.
Right? It's got to start there. And then I want retirement savings to be a high priority for you after that. In order to get yourself into a position to be able to do that, you may have to really focus in on the debt and reduce it as quickly as you can. If that's a situation for you, and don't take on more, mm-hmm. right? When you have we'll just say a boat, maybe that's taking on some water, you want to plug the hole, get the water out. You don't want to start shoveling buckets of water into the boat right along on top of what's coming in.
Right.
So for somebody who maybe has put off getting ready for retirement, you know, step one, with any of it, obviously, you've got to think about your goals, mm-hmm. what you want to do, and those goals then can help guide the decisions. For somebody looking at retirement who thinks that they want to retire at an age prior to 70, mm-hmm. you know, it may be then that you've got to make sacrifices now.
Right.
You're going to have to find a way to begin putting aside more financial resources in order to be able to do that. If that's just simply not possible, then you may have to modify your goals and say, okay, well, I am going to work until I'm 67, 70 years old. Mm-hmm. And just recognize that that's a part of the equation. If it's not possible to be putting more money aside now.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, other goals, you know, people, it's their lives. They're going to make their own goals and that kind of thing. So, again, we should be starting with sort of the aspect of how we've been blessed, mm-hmm. and how can we help our congregation, the church at large, other charity scenarios. How can we do that and even prepare for that when we are retired? You want that to be a priority for people, but then, you know, you may have your own personal priorities of, I want to have a second house so that I can leave the North when it's cold or I can leave the South when it's hot, right?
Sure.
I mean, I was in Florida for a while and there were people who were native to Florida. Well, they would leave during the summertime. Retirees would leave during the summertime and go to the mountains of Colorado. You have that kind of thing. If that's something you want to do as a goal, well, you're going to have to prepare for that. That costs more money to have two homes. And that sort of a thing, or whatever it is that you may want to do financially. Again, you might set aside that, and at the time you get to retirement, you're like, well, I don't really want to have two homes. Well, okay, have you hurt yourself by getting prepared to do that? You haven't. You have options.
Yeah,
as we talked about before.
Options is key.
Options is a really big deal. It gives you those kinds of options when you reach that point in time. And speaking of options, you know, where should somebody look to set aside money for retirement? Again, I'll say that employer-sponsored plans are often a really good place to start. There are caveats, right? You have to find out what kinds of expenses are associated with that plan. Mm-hmm. Before it's necessarily the best option for you. You hope that whoever's in charge of the plan at your employer is watching out for you in terms of getting those expenses down and as low as they possibly can be.
Sure.
So the employer plan is generally the first place to look because there are other things that go along with. We talked about just having it come out of your paycheck, mm-hmm. and just keep feeding in there, and you know, you adjust your living so that you don't really miss it.
Sure.
And then if you are fortunate enough to receive a raise or something like that, especially if you've set a percentage of pay, mm-hmm. well, then the amount of money that's going in just automatically increases when you receive a raise or something along those lines. And then there are tax opportunities that come with that kind of a plan as well. So traditionally, you'd be setting aside that money pre-tax.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't get taxed then until you reach the point in time that you do retire and take the money out. For church workers, those who are considered by the IRS to be ministers of religion,
mm-hmm.
There's an additional benefit that you do not pay what is called SECA tax mm-hmm. on that money as it goes in. And in fact, you never will, because when you're in retirement, you don't pay SECA tax on the distribution. So that is an added benefit that church workers especially need to consider. But there also is the opportunity to set aside that, and this isn't true for every plan, but it could be in a person's plan, to set aside money on what's called a Roth basis.
Mm-hmm.
The word Roth, I think, is more well-known now.
Sure.
It's taken time for people to at least know of its availability.
Mm-hmm.
But many defined contribution plans now have either added or will be adding a Roth option to it. And the difference there is that the money that's going in is after your income tax. So you've paid the income tax already, and the money is going in, but it's then allowed to grow, and any of the earnings on that money is really tax-free.
That's a nice option.
Right. So somebody who's young
mm-hmm.
has a lot of years to have growth, and all of that growth will be able to come out of the plan tax-free in most situations.
Mm-hmm.
You should always talk to a tax professional or other person. Yeah, that's the disclaimer there.
Sure,
to make sure. But in most situations, you'll be able to pull out the money tax-free then when it's retirement time. So employer-sponsored plans are the first place, I think, that you should be looking for setting aside additional money for retirement. You know, outside of that, there are, of course, what are called IRAs, individual retirement accounts.
Mm-hmm.
They come both in a pre-tax kind of an opportunity as well as a Roth opportunity with some of the similar kinds of benefits that we just discussed. It's a little more, there are some limitations in terms of the amount of money that can go into an IRA in mm-hmm. a particular year. In an employer-sponsored plan, that's true as well, but the limits are like much higher, like
mm-hmm.
three times as high in maybe sometimes four times higher in an employer-sponsored plan than they are for an IRA. So that's one thing to consider. But then there is also maybe some additional flexibility associated in an IRA that you're not going to have in your employer-sponsored plan. And so those are considerations to take into account. IRAs, though, are often at what I'll call more of a retail level.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have to look at expenses. You have to understand the expenses. Oftentimes, expenses with investments are not upfront. They aren't necessarily explicitly stated.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to dig into them to be able to find what the real expenses are.
Do your homework.
You have to do your homework. Yes,
mm-hmm.
yes. You always look for your expense ratio. In the investments, you look for things that are added on over and above the expense ratio, and they have a variety of names that we don't necessarily need to go into. The point is, just because you're sitting across the table from somebody who's showing you, you know, this particular opportunity, that doesn't mean they're telling you or that they even know all the expenses that are associated.
Sure. So is there a way for somebody younger, maybe my age, to get a grasp on the big number that they want to hit when they reach retirement?
Well, I think that there are a number of calculators out there that can attempt to help
mm-hmm.
figure that out.
There's no magic number, though, is there?
Well, there really isn't a magic number, because in the end, the goals are personal.
Sure.
Right? Your goals are not going to be mine, and they're not going to be the same as someone else's.
Sure.
So the goals could be very different. I mean, You may want to go into the back reaches of Alabama, and and the cost of living there is really, really cheap.
Right.
And so you're not going to need nearly as much as the person who says, well, you know what? I want to live in San Diego, and where the cost of living is tremendous.
Sure.
So the number of dollars is going to be different for everybody. But in the way that calculators can work, and it's just going to be loaded with assumptions.
Sure.
Right? Mm-hmm. And there's no other way to sort of project out and see that. So it's going to be loaded with assumptions. Many people look at it in terms of, well, let me put it the way that I like to look at it,
I guess.
Yeah. Let's say that you have a standard of living now, and you would like to see that standard of living at least be maintained when you get into retirement.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're projecting out, you're going to be, you know, you have an amount of pay now, and you kind of spend what you spend out of that. Maybe it's all of it. Well, to maintain that standard of living, you need to grow that then with, you know, some sort of level of inflation. You know, everything you buy has inflation associated with it. And so you would just project out your own pay to the time when you would retire with a certain percentage of inflation. And then that's what you're going to need then to maintain your standard of living. All right, that's a mathematical thing that's hard to do. But again, you can go and find calculators that can help you do these sorts of things. At any rate, so then once you have that, that will tell you kind of how much money you're going to need for every year that you're in retirement. Now, the other thing that no one knows is, well, how long am I going to live?
Right.
How many years am I going to be in retirement? So there has to be that sort of understanding as well, that you could need that amount of money for 10 years or for 20 years or 30 years or longer. And you have, oftentimes there's a spouse involved too. That so the probability that two lives will live longer is higher than for one life, generally speaking. So in terms of trying to figure out, there are rules of thumb out there, simple ones. Ultimately, you may want to end up with, say, 10 times your annual salary. Well, what's your annual salary going to be when you're age 70, 65, whatever the number is that you choose? Again, you have to just run your current salary out to age 65 or 70. And then multiply it times 10, and that's the big number that you want to have. If you have a traditional kind of pension plan that's going to give you a monthly benefit in retirement, you know, that you may need help trying to figure out how that offsets what you have there.
Sure.
Anyway.
Sure. So the big thing is to understand what your goals are. You really want to lay those out first, with tithing and giving to the church being your top, and then realizing that you need to have options. Those are the big two takeaways we can have today.
I think that's a very good summary. That's
awesome.
Right. You need to know your goals, and if you want to have options, you're going to have to set aside a good deal of money.
You need options for your goals.
That's right.
Very good. That's very good. All right. Well, I think we're about out of time for all of that. That was a very interesting conversation. I'll have to go take this home and talk with my husband a little bit.
Well, thank you for having me. And as you can see, you get me talking and I just go.
Yeah. Mark Borchert, Director of Retirement Products and Services for Concordia Plan Services. Thanks for being my guest today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Coming up next, Thy Strong Word. Hope you can stick around. Have a great day.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.